Welcome to Titusville Toastmasters Toastcast, Toastcast number 6. I'm your host, Toastmaster Judd Spitzer. Today on the program, we have some fun and exciting table topics. The topic today is animals, and it's being presented by one of our clubs, Toastmasters. So you'll enjoy that. And we have 4 featured speeches tonight. Toastmaster Bill Bender, Toastmaster Debbie Fleming, Toastmaster Jim Jenkins, and last but not least, Toastmaster Linda Humphrey will be presenting all different speeches. These speeches come from various Toastmaster meetings over the last month and a half, and we hope you enjoy them. If you have feedback on this Toastcast, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact me directly, judd@titusvilletoastmasters.org. And of course, you can visit our website, TitusvilleToastmasters.org. And if you live outside of Brevard County, we highly recommend you look at the international website, Toastmasters.org. Find a Toastmaster Club and get involved. It really is a great way to improve your speech-making capabilities and your skills, meet great people, learn leadership. So with that, let's move right into our Toastcast and our table topics.
Cliff, for those of you who don't know his goals in life, he intends to become the Secretary General of the United Nations. Toastmaster Cliff Regis.
What an introduction, Jim. No, thank you so much, Jim. Fellow Toastmasters, distinguished guests, thank you so much. Good afternoon. I love animals. I love animals that live on a land. I love animals that fly. And recently I became certified in scuba diving, so you know I love animals in the sea. So I was greatly surprised to find out today was World Animal Day. So what is World Animal Day? World Animal Day celebrates animal life in all forms, and also celebrates mankind's relationship with the animal kingdom. So needless to say that today's table topic is going to revolve around animals. What is the best way, in your opinion, to ensure the survival of endangered animals? Please tell us, if you can remember this, your first visit to a zoo. Since our pioneer days in America, hunting has been a pastime dear to many Americans. In your opinion, should sport hunting be banned in the U.S.? And if yes, will this be a universal ban on all animals? What animal do you think the world could do without? Let's assume, putting aside religious beliefs, let's assume reincarnation was possible. If you were going to be reincarnated, which animal would you prefer to be? Since our pioneer days, one of my favorite heroes is Benjamin Franklin. And once, I believe this, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but he was a great prankster, Benjamin Franklin. And he said that our national bird should be a turkey. Of course, that didn't happen. He spoke with the bald eagle. But just imagine the bald eagle was replaced by another animal. What animal should replace the bald eagle for our national symbol? In your opinion, what is the most endangered animal that is in crisis, that is in need currently?
Well, I hope you found that pretty entertaining. Well, with that, let's move right into our speeches. And we're going to go with Toastmaster Bill Bender, who was selected as the reader for this evening and gave us a great description of things that go on in St. Augustine. So with that, please help me welcome Toastmaster Bill Bender.
My buddy, Bill Bender.
Thank you, Mr. Toastmaster. I know it says I'm the reader, but I am going to tell you a story about what happened to me this weekend because it has to do with reading. About a year and a half ago, my wife had some surgery in this very hospital, very successful. She recovered well, thank you. She's doing well. But during that time, she was laid up for about 6 weeks, and she couldn't do anything. They said, don't do anything. So she started reading. And after she was able to do things, she continued to read. Continued to read with a vicious appetite. And she identified some favorite authors. One of her favorite authors she really likes is a woman named Heather Graham. Anybody read Heather Graham? Okay. Well, anyway, she loves Heather Graham. Also, Heather Graham writes under the name of Shannon Drake. Okay, but Heather Graham is probably the more renowned and recognized name. Anyway, it's fiction, it's historical romance. She does a good job of telling history and mixing it with the characters. A very good blend. I haven't read any of it, but my wife tells me so, so it must be true. But she really enjoyed it, and she sent Heather Graham. Well, let me back up. We had been looking for an opportunity to get away, you know, just for a weekend sometime. But with everything getting so busy, it's always hard to do. Anyway, she finished the series, and she sent Heather Graham an email saying, oh, I loved it. Oh, it was so wonderful. And Heather Graham emailed her back. Said, hey, we're going to be up in St. Augustine doing this promotional type thing with a bunch of writers. We're staying at different bed and breakfasts or pairing us up. Why don't you come up and see us? So she said, oh, that'd be great, that'd be great, that'd be great. So she sent an email to the Chamber of Commerce. They didn't know anything about it. She sent an email to Heather Graham, never got an answer. So I figured, I got to do something. So about 3 weeks ago, I made arrangements to with bed and breakfast for us to stay there for the weekend. And while I was on the phone, I said, listen, I know there's like a book tour or something, and I'm looking for an author named Heather Graham. Do you know where she's going to be? And they said, yeah, she's going to be staying at our bed and breakfast. So I was like, getting some good points there. And I said, well, put us in the room next door. She said, oh, you're personal friends with Heather. I said, no, but if you could put us in the room next door, that'd be real good. So they didn't put us in a room next door, but it was this past weekend, so my wife was all excited. We went up there Friday. I got out of work a little early. We got up there, had a nice night. We went on one of those ghost tours. Let me tell you something about ghost tours. It's getting away from my story, but I've been on two different ghost tours in two different cities, and it's a lot of fun, the walking tours. They take you a different thing, but if anything happens out of the ordinary, it's a ghost. Somebody dropped something. They didn't mean to drop it. A ghost did that. And it happens a lot, so that's how these stories start. So, I mean, they're fun. If you want to do it, do it. It's worth its weight in gold to see it, especially if you have somebody good telling the story and taking it through. So we went on the ghost tour Friday. Saturday we saw a good portion of St. Augustine because the tour for all the authors was on Sunday. And then Sunday morning, oh, my wife couldn't sleep Saturday night. And Sunday morning, I got my back robe on. I'm going down to get some coffee, and I got introduced to Heather Graham. So I went up to the room and I told my wife, I said, well, yeah, I got some coffee, and by the way, I got to talk to Heather Graham. And I mean, she spun up. She went in, she took her shower, we gotta go down. So we went down and she met Heather Graham, and she was, and the two of them hit it off. You wouldn't believe it. They're like best friends. We had breakfast together, because bed and breakfast, and then Heather Graham was going out on the tour and asked us to come with her. And she was just, oh, she could. We didn't go, of course, because we didn't want to wear out our welcome. And she had her young daughter with her. Her daughter's about 23 years old. And she was there. Very nice. Both of them were very nice, very down-to-earth, good people. So we toured the fort, and we came back when the signing was going on. How this worked was there were several authors assigned to different bed and breakfasts. You pay for a tour, and you go from establishment to establishment. They take you on the tour. You get to meet the authors if you want to buy the book, and they'll sign them and things like that. So, of course, she brought all her books for Heather Graham, and she got writer's cramp signing them all. And as we were walking out, her daughter was sitting in the parlor, just sitting there looking at the magazine. We said, well, hey, we're going on tour. You want to join us? And she joined us, so we spent quite a bit of time with her. We toured about maybe 7 or 8 of the bed and breakfasts and got to see St. Augustine. Now, let me tell you something. If you're going to go to St. Augustine, you want to stay at the best bed and breakfast, I think, in there. It's a place called Casa Sueños, Spanish for House of Dreams. Pardon me?
Haunted.
Yes. It's, have you stayed there?
Okay,
took the ghost tour, and it used to be a funeral home. And if you stay in the honeymoon suite, it's the embalming room. At least that's what it says on the ghost tour. Now I asked the innkeeper, and she said, "No, it's not." But it makes for a good story. Anyway, it's Casa Sueños if you want to stay there and have a good time, because that's the place that makes dreams come true. Mr. Toastmaster! At least for my wife.
I must admit, if you have never been to St. Augustine, it's definitely worth a trip. And Toastmaster Bill Bender really explains it very well. It sounds like he had a great trip. Now moving on, let's go with Toastmaster Debbie Fleming. She is going to have a life-changing experience, and she's talking about it, and we'll, in future podcasts, follow up with her on her adventure. So please help me welcome Toastmaster Debbie Fleming.
One element of a good speech is to have interaction between the speaker and the audience, and so I intend to do that tonight. In fact, get nice and comfy. You're back at school. You get to take a little quiz. This is real easy. No papers required. Please don't yell out your answers unless you really want us to know. Just in your mind, think either yes or no. Real simple. Dozen questions. All right. I do not eat refined sugar every day. I can go for more than a day without eating some type of sugar-containing food. I never have cravings for sugar, coffee, chocolate, peanut butter, or alcohol. I've never hidden candy. You'd have to be a mother, I guess. I've never hidden candy or other sweets around my home in order to find and eat them later. I can stop after eating one piece of candy or one bite of pastry. There are times when I have no sugar of any kind in my home. How y'all doing? I can go for 3 or more hours without eating and not experience the shakes, fatigue, perspiration, irritability, depression, or anxiety. I can have candy and other sweets in my home and not eat them. I do not eat something sweet after each meal. I rarely drink coffee and eat donuts or sweet rolls for breakfast. I can go for more than an hour without waking up in the morning without eating. I can go from one day to the next without drinking a sweetened soft drink. How'd y'all do? I won't tell you how I did, but the fact that I'm giving this speech tells you something here. I think, jokingly talked about my sugar addiction. So I decided to do a little bit of research, and I found a really interesting article by Dr. Nancy Appleton in her book, Lick the Sugar Habit. She lists 146 reasons why sugar is ruining your health. This was a shocker. If anything has convinced me to stop the sugar habit, this has. I ticked off several things that either were just interesting, particularly interesting, things that are pertinent to me, etc. I'll just read you a few of these 146 reasons. Sugar causes a loss of tissue elasticity and function. Sugar leads to chromium deficiency, cancer of the ovaries, copper deficiency, interferes with absorption of calcium and magnesium, can weaken eyesight, can cause hypoglycemia, can produce an acidic digestive tract, can cause premature aging, can lead to alcoholism, can cause tooth decay, contributes to obesity. High intakes of sugar increase the risks of Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, can cause arthritis, heart disease, appendicitis, multiple sclerosis, hemorrhoids, don't have a problem, just so you know. Varicose veins can lead to periodontal disease, can contribute to osteoporosis, saliva acidity. Sugar can cause a decrease in insulin sensitivity, can lower the amount of vitamin E in the blood, can increase cholesterol, can interfere with the absorption of protein, can cause food allergies, can contribute to diabetes, cardiovascular disease, can make your skin age by changing the structure of collagen, can cause cataracts, emphysema, arthrosclerosis. Sugar is the enemy number one, that should be number one enemy, of the bowel movement. Can cause headaches, including migraine headaches. Plays a role in pancreatic cancer in women. Can cause an increase in delta, alpha, and theta brain waves. Can cause depression. Increases the risk of gastric cancer. Can contribute to Alzheimer's disease. Can lead to dizziness. Diets high in sugar can cause free radicals and oxidative stress. Sugar feeds cancer. Sugar is an addictive substance. Don't I know that? Sugar can be intoxicating, similar to alcohol. Interesting. Decrease in sugar intake can increase emotional stability. I'm emotionally stable. I don't have trouble with that one. That was a joke. The body changes sugar into 2 to 5 times more fat in the bloodstream than it does starch. Sugar can increase the amount of food that you eat, is a risk factor in cancer of the small intestine, induces salt and water retention, may contribute to mild memory loss, can increase the total amount of food consumed, and can cause liver tumors. Thought that was interesting. Those are just a sampling of things that sugar can be contributed to, according to Dr. Nancy Appleton. So I did a little bit more research. We know sugar is bad. I didn't do research to find out if sugar is bad. Sugar is bad for you. Even if just a fraction of these really are certifiable, wow, this body has to last me the rest of my life. I would like it to last in a really good shape. In doing some research, I came across another article by clinical psychologist Douglas Lyle, PhD, who says that he has had a lot of success with patients in therapeutic fasting, in essence, rebooting the hard drive in your brain through a period of water-only fasting in a medically supervised setting, followed by an introduction of good foods, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts, beans, seeds, etc. I listened to the radio a couple of years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago. Very interesting. Because of religious reasons, I fast once a month. We do that with the religion that I belong to. But this radio program talked about fasting, how it's really a good idea to fast once a month or so, just to cleanse your system. So here's another doctor who says, just fast once in a while. Get all that stuff out of your system. He suggests, one, water fasting. He does not give a time period. I'm assuming 24 hours. That seems to be generally what fasts are. If you can't do that, go on a fast from the foods that you're having trouble with. Go on a sugar fast for 24 hours. Don't eat anything with sugar in it. Eat other things. Whole grains, nuts, vegetables, etc. He says that staying completely away from a food item for 3 weeks often resolves the problem. Boy, if I can just give up sugar for 3 weeks, my problem is solved. At the end of 3 weeks, your tastes will have changed. I have noticed in the past when I've gone without sugar for weeks, a couple of weeks, the next time I had a piece of candy, oh my gosh, I was in heaven. Your tastes do change. You don't want that food as much anymore. In another article I read by Shane Ellison, who has a master's degree in organic chemistry, he said this just 2 months ago. The strength of the sugar addiction is akin to that seen with heroin and morphine. It makes you feel good artificially. It is no wonder that street heroin is often laced with sugar. I did not know that, having never taken heroin or any other drug. Some of you also know that I don't drink at all. If I've never had alcohol. And so I thought that was interesting in here where it talks about, you know, the effects are similar to alcohol, overeating sugar. Interesting. Anita Manning, writing for USA Today on June 14th of this year, said, "Diabetics and people worldwide, don't be fooled. Avoid sugar at all costs. Break the sugar addiction. Doing so will normalize blood glucose levels." And then she said, "Early intensive treatment to keep blood sugar levels close to normal in people with diabetes can cut their risk of cardiovascular disease by 50% and the risk of heart attack and stroke by 57%. That is pretty amazing, isn't it, in diabetics? Now, I just had a bunch of blood work done because I'm going to see a doctor and wanted to have my blood test to take to this doctor. Say, I need help. Thank goodness my blood glucose readings were wonderful. I don't have a problem with that now. Does not mean that on my present path I might develop that in the future. She also said, "Imagine what quitting sugar would do," after reporting about diabetics. "Imagine what quitting sugar would do for longevity among those who are not diabetic." All right. So, how do I go about getting unaddicted to sugar? Douglas Lyle said, "Do it for 3 weeks. You'll change your taste. It'll be much easier." So I've come up with just a really easy 3-week plan. Number one, so I'm going to be accountable. But you know what? I just do not hold myself accountable. I get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm not going to eat any sugar today. And then I open the freezer at lunchtime, and there's all those popsicles and ice cream and all those cookies I'm making for the kids after school. I just am not accountable. So I'm holding myself accountable to my Toastmaster friends. For 3 weeks, I'm going to eat no sugar. I will ingest no refined sugar. I will eat no popsicles, no ice cream, no soda pop, no cake, no donuts, no muffins, and the most difficult one of all, no hot cocoa. I don't drink coffee, but I gotta have my hot cocoa. No refined sugar for 3 weeks. So I will be accountable. I'm going to do it for 3 weeks. I'm going to try a water-only fast. Not a new thing for me. For 3 weeks, I intend to break this sugar habit because my body is the vehicle and I intend to be here for a long time. Mr. Toastmaster.
Wow. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I think that knocking off sugar for 3 weeks takes a lot of effort, and I'm not sure I could do that. But we wish Debbie the best of luck, and once again, we'll follow up with her on her sugar reduction plan. So our next speaker is Toastmaster Jim Jenkins, and he's going to be telling us about some of his wondering. So with that, please help me welcome Toastmaster Jim Jenkins.
I'm guideline 5 to 7 minutes, and the speech title is, "I Just Wonder." Welcome, Toastmaster Jim Jenkins.
Thank you, Madam Toastmaster. Fellow Toastmasters and guests, we're glad to have you. Have you ever looked at everything that's happening, things that are happening to you, and you just, "I wonder what's going on. I just wonder, why do these things happen? I wonder, why do I get so riled up about some of the things that happen? I'm like a person used to say, sometimes I wonder, then again, I just don't know. The first thing I wonder is, what happened to my manual? I have decided that the house has eaten it. I look for it. The other thing I kept thinking, the last time I spoke, who evaluated me? I'm sure they gave me the manual back. In fact, I thought, I'm pretty sure because I looked at it about a month ago or so when I was, at one time I was scheduled to speak and then I swapped into something else. Anyhow, I wondered. So I'm tearing this room apart that I have the computer and every piece of junk I think I've accumulated in the last umpteen years, which I have been told to get rid of most of it. And as I mentioned to Debbie a while ago, I think maybe my wife has hid that manual so that I will clean out everything and try to find it. Or she's hidden it in there somewhere. Well, this is the time of the year that is approaching the World Series of Baseball. My favorite team for years, the St. Louis Cardinals. They blasted through the division series, 1-3 in a row. Bring on the Houston Astros. They won the first game. And then they promptly blew the next three. How can you do that? How can they do that? What's wrong with them? Two nights ago, the manager got ejected from the game, and one of the batters got ejected with a 3-1 count on him, got thrown out of the ball game. They had to send in a pinch batter to finish up for him. I just don't know what it is. Last night, they were leading, and then they came down. It was tied in the eighth inning, and then Houston scored two runs, and went ahead 4-2. The Cardinals come to bat in the top of the ninth. The first two are out. Here it is. They're behind 2 runs. The batter in the box there were 2 out. I think he may have had 2 strikes. I was ready. Why am I sitting here? I'm wondering what I'm doing. It's after midnight. I should be in bed. And I thought, I just about reached to shut the TV off. And then I thought about Yogi Berra says, it ain't over till it's over. So I sat there a few more, couple minutes, and kawamo, home run, the Cardinals go ahead, 5-4. Houston doesn't score in the bottom of the ninth. Today they're on their way back to St. Louis. It's 3-2. Now I've got 2 more days to wonder what's going to happen. Maybe only one. But just think of all the things. I wonder about how high can the price of gas go? You keep thinking, people say, oh, it may go to $5, $6 a gallon. We're running out of gas. We're running out of oil. I've seen reports that we'll be out of oil by 2009. There won't be any more oil. You won't even have gas to drive to the polls in 2008. It'll cost too much to go vote. And I'm wondering, why is everybody excited? Why am I excited? I'm excited because I can't stand to hold that nozzle in that tank and watch that money click by.
But I wonder about some people who say, I can't afford gas. It's costing too much to live. And I think of these same people that drive to work, stop and have their $5 latte. After work, they go to happy hour and have their $5 martini. And they smoke their two or three packs of cigarettes at $4 or $5 a piece. And you complain about $3 for gas. Well, stop. They also drive something just smaller than an 18-wheeler. But I just wonder, how much farther do we go? Are we all going to be walking? And then I think, who cares? Now we have a hurricane coming. I wonder what that's going to do. We're bothered at the immigration. I listened to all this. I wonder what's wrong with all the immigrants coming in. I'm sure it's pretty lousy where they live, or they wouldn't come here. And the president and others say, well, we have to have them to do the work that the Americans won't do. And I keep wondering, why won't we work? Well, because we won't work for what they can hire the immigrants for. That's why we won't do it. And now I wonder, is that bird flu going to attack? And they keep reminding, in 1918, umpteen thousand people died. I realize that. My grandmother was one of them. I wasn't around then, but even though some of you may think I was, but it could be. However, I listen to some of these specialists and they say, don't worry about eating chicken or duck or anything. As long as you don't handle the live bird, or if the bird doesn't fly by and cut loose on you when so wear a wide-brimmed hat, and if you catch a bird, be sure and throw it in the microwave before you try to eat it. Don't eat a raw bird because they may have the bird flu, and that would spread it here. But no matter how much I wonder or how much I don't know, I still realize that, as Debbie pointed out, it's a pretty doggone good day. It's a pretty nice place to live. In spite of everything, we still have a lot of freedom. And what they do with Saddam Hussein, he deserves. I just hope that everything goes well in Iraq, the boys and the girls can come home, and we can find wonder who's going to go after us next. But remember, there's an old Chinese saying that the man who runs in front of a car gets tired. Man who runs behind a car gets exhausted. People who live in glass houses should change clothes in the basements. So, remember, life is great. Keep on wondering. Don't let it get your ulcers up.
Well, are you pondering what I'm pondering? That was great, Toastmaster Jim Jenkins. I enjoyed that very much. With that, we'll move on to Toastmaster Linda Humphrey, who recently had a visit with her daughter and got to bite her tongue. So here we get to listen to Toastmaster Linda Humphrey.
Her speech title is, Honey, There's a Pothole Ahead. So please help me welcome Toastmaster Linda Humphreys.
Thank you, Mr. Toastmaster. fellow Toastmaster, if I'm getting over here closer to my evaluator, so I can look into your eyes.
Gives you 3 points.
No, I'm already the winner. This is kind of nice because I'm not really actually competing against anyone, and that's nice. I like that. It takes the no pressure, and I just feel like I'm going to just talk to you guys. I don't know how entertaining you'll find this. I was hoping I'd have a couple of women in the audience who had had the privilege of childbirth. I know Dave is a parent, and I know Rudy is a parent. Phil, do you have children? So you're a father. Jed, Bill, I think you're our only ones who haven't experienced parenthood. I spent the night last night with my oldest daughter, Sandy, and my 3 grandchildren, her husband. I go over there for Halloween, spend the night. Yeah, I made their dinner for them, helped them dress up in their costumes, and just have a good time. And I spent the night with them. And at 4 o'clock this morning, my little 8-year-old grandson woke me up. Well, the TV was going and the lights were on. And I thought, what is going on? Went out there and he said, Mommy said I could watch TV because my leg hurts. I said, oh, okay. 4 o'clock in the morning at the time. Okay, your leg hurts. You can watch TV. So I stayed up with him and talked to him and rubbed his leg. And then the next morning, and you know when you're around your family, how you observe things? And as a mother, now those of you who are dads, you're not old enough yet to be a granddad, either of you. But you observe, but you're not allowed to put your 2 cents in, you know, although sometimes you do. When you get to be a grandparent, you'll understand. But as I watched last night, and I saw interaction between my daughter and my grandchildren, and then this morning I got up and I sat with my grandson, and then 6:30 I started making breakfast, and the kids got up and got ready to go to school. And I again watched some interaction, heard some talking back and forth, and heard my grandchildren, who are really basically very good kids. I mean, they really are. I'm not prejudiced at all, but they are good kids and also beautiful and, you know, all that stuff. But I heard some comments that I didn't particularly like. I didn't particularly like the way that one of them spoke to their mother, my daughter. They raised their voice a little, and she had said, no, you can't shampoo your hair. It's too close to time to go to school. You need to get ready and get out the door. And all at once, my granddaughter is taking her, you know, her parka off, and she's proceeding to go wash her hair when her mom told her she can't do it. And so I had to say something at that point, right? I mean, it was my duty, yes. I said, what did your mom just say to you? And she said, it'll be okay. I'll go to school with wet hair. And I thought, you know, if she had talked to me that way when she was 12, I would have been washing her hair, and her head would have been under the water. I mean, you know, you think about all these things, and you think, well, now, that's not the way I raised you. Well, yeah, well and good. Then my mind went back to when I was actually in labor having this oldest daughter of mine. My first child didn't know anything about anything. The only thing my mother would tell me when I said, Mom, what does it really feel like to be in labor? She said, do you really want to know? And I said, well, yeah, I'm 8 months pregnant and I need to find out. Tell me what it's really like. She said, well, and I'm going to be very frank with you gentlemen tonight. She said, well, it actually feels like you're pooping a watermelon. And I said, oh, Mom, oh, no. That's not what I wanted you to say. And she said, but you asked me how it felt. I said, is that for real? Is that really true? That is the gospel truth. I said, well, then I don't want to do this. And she said, well, I'm afraid you don't have a choice. Anyway, long story shorter, I went through the pain of childbirth and the hours on end and blah, blah. And when the doctor said, oh, what you went through was nothing. I said, oh, that was nothing? Oh, no, most women having their first babies, you know, a lot longer than you and a lot more pain. Anyway, I went through it again and again. So, I mean, women keep doing this, okay? So, it can't be that bad, right? And, yes, I was a screamer. I was. So I'm thinking back to Sandy, my oldest daughter, in labor with my granddaughter 12 years ago. Went up to the hospital to see her, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to just, you know, take charge and make her feel better and comfort her and hold her hand and all this stuff. And as she goes through all of the horror that I went through of giving birth to her, isn't that a mother's right? Isn't it? You know, there's some paybacks in life, right? So we're up in the hospital in Orlando. She's in labor. She hasn't screamed one time, not once. And her husband and I are holding her hand, and we're each standing on the side of her, and we're trying. I'm thinking, gee, she has a television in this room. She has her own nurse. She has her own monitor. The husband's in the room with her. I had none of that. Okay, I was already getting a little upset. And finally, the nurse came in and said, oh, you're 7 centimeters. Now you can have an epidural. And I didn't even know what it was. Pretty soon, the doctor comes in, gives this woman an epidural in her back. She's totally pain-free. I said, What just happened? The doctor said, she got an epidural. I said, I know, but she's not in pain anymore. He said, I know, isn't that great? I said, no. I said, no, you don't understand. I said, I'm her mother. And he goes, oh, you were a screamer, weren't you? And I said, oh, yeah, and she's supposed to do the same thing. He said, sorry, Mom, it's not like that anymore. I said, no, wait a minute. I demand this equality here. I want this girl to suffer like I did. And, of course, I was jesting. You know, I was just being funny. I didn't want her to suffer. I was so happy when she wasn't in pain anymore, and I got to see the birth, and it was wonderful. So now, as these children are growing up, and I see other things coming, they're beginning to get to be the age, you know, that I remember her being, and when she was 12, all of these things that I know are ahead of her. And I want to say, you know, Sandy, you got a pothole coming up here. You need to take action now and avoid. I've been down this road, honey. You need to take some action and set some rules and make them live by those rules and, you know, make them respect you and make them speak kindly to you and all of this. But I know I can't do that. I know I can't, because I know that the road is her road. They're her potholes. She's got to experience them. I've already experienced mine. I've already hit my potholes, and as much as I want to help her avoid them, just like my mom wanted to help me avoid them, she couldn't and I can't, because it's her road. It's her road, and they're her potholes. Mr. Toastmaster.
That's our Toastcast for this early November, and that was Toastcast number 6 that you've just listened to. Keep us subscribed in your iTunes setup, and you'll be able to catch the next Toastcast when it becomes available. Once again, give us an email and some feedback on what you thought about the program, and we'll pass any feedback on the speeches on to those particular Toastmasters. Thanks again for listening. This is Jed Spitzer for Titusville Toastmasters. The following podcast is a broadcast of the Titusville Toastmasters meeting. It is provided for educational purposes only. Opinions expressed within this podcast do not reflect those of Toastmasters International or Titusville Toastmasters, but that of the individual. For information on becoming a Toastmaster, please visit Toastmasters.org. This podcast is copyright 2005 and may not be distributed without permission of Titusville Toastmasters.